do a lot of traveling. Yeah. I think some of us do in our occupations. And you're always turning the station on the radio, listening to various different songs and trying to find the 80s because that was the best time period for music, not hair, but music. I've got some agreement there. Anyway, every day of our lives, when we're flipping through those things, even on television or billboards, wherever it might be, we may hear some of these slogans. It does a good thing. Anything's possible. Give your dream a chance. Imagine what a buck could do. Somebody's got to win. Might as well be you. Play a little. Imagine the possibilities. Dream bigger. And the granddaddy of them all is have some fun already. Woohoo! From the great state of Iowa, the father of the Powerball. Those are all slogans from various different states who participate in a lottery. Have some sort of gambling lottery take place in their nation or in their state. Gambling has become a form of entertainment for many people. When asked what they're going to do on a weekend, someone might say, I'm going to go to the boat, or the casino, or the racetrack. It has become just part of our life. 15% of Americans gamble at least once a week. All but two states have some form of legalized gambling, and 43 states have lotteries. Approximately 2 to 3% of Americans meet the criteria for problem gambling. That's around 6 million adults. And also, 500,000 teens have the same issue. How they're doing that, I don't know, but I'm sure there's various different ways. Youth risk developing a gambling problem at the rate of about 2 to 3 times that of adults. And approximately 6% of college students have a gambling problem. About 40% of the people with a gambling problem started gambling before the age of 17. Nevada has the highest prevalence of problem gambling in the country, about 6.4%. Go figure, right? Approximately 76% of problem gamblers are likely to have a major depressive disorder. You see the progression into more issues than just about the money. The annual cost associated with gambling, that includes crime, addiction, and bankruptcy, is $17 billion. Georgia State University estimates that about 50% of problem gamblers commit crimes, and about two-thirds of all those people who are incarcerated, it's related to gambling in some manner. Georgia State also says that 73% of people who are incarcerated are identified as problem gamblers. And an Australian study found that 1 in 5 suicidal patients have a gambling problem. Woohoo! Have some fun already. It's all around us, and it is a huge temptation for Christians. Gambling can become part of your life, and it must be took and put into check. Turn with me to Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 19 through 21. Here Paul is encouraging the Galatian brethren by showing the difference between the works of the flesh and those things that are spiritual. He says in verses 19 through 21, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Just as I also told you in time past that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, God did not list every sinful thing in the Bible, did he? Every sinful thing that is known to man is not listed. And it's evident here in Galatians whenever he's giving the works of the flesh. Gambling's not mentioned. But he does say one thing, and the like. Things that are like these, things that are fleshly, things that are of the flesh or of the world. Neither shall you practice such things, because you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Gambling, by definition, means to play a game for money or property, or to bet on an uncertain outcome. According to Webster, most likely are familiar with most forms of gambling, like casinos or horse racing, sports betting. Around that, what is it, the Super Bowl time, I think there's a lot of gambling that goes on with that. Lotteries, bingo, raffles, and etc. It could go on and on and on. Chicken fights, dog fights. You ever heard of cow chip bingo? Betting on a cow where he'll pass his... Yeah, get the point? People gamble on stuff just for the sake of gambling. The chance of making a buck quick. It feels so good, doesn't it? Well, ask yourself this very simple question. Does gambling fall closer to the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? It's not listed here, but boy, it sure falls a lot closer to those works of the flesh. Jealousy, envy. How about covetousness? Coveting someone else's money. It's a craving for things which don't belong to you, which is called idolatry in Colossians 3 and verse 5. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. Is gambling of the Father, or is gambling of the world? What does the Bible say about gambling? Nothing. The word gamble or gambling is not found in the Scripture. So what do we do when it comes to something that is so close to the works of the flesh and is not of the Father? The word's not found, but the principle is, and an understanding can be made through the Scripture of what God expects of us when it comes to gambling. So let's consider the warnings about people who desire to get rich quick and what happens to them and their riches. Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, in verse 10, is where we'll start. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity." If you've got the love of money grasping a hold of your heart to the extent that you want more and more and more, and you'll bet money to try to gain money, you're never going to be satisfied till you hit the big jackpot. And you'll continue to do it even after you hit the jackpot. You'll never be satisfied. It's like the dog that returns to its vomit, and the sow that continues to wallow in her mud pit just returns back again. Never satisfied. Never satisfied. I love this scripture here. It's in Jeremiah 17. When we're thinking about the warnings of being a gambler, Jeremiah 17 and verse 11 says, "As a partridge broods, but does not hatch, so is he who gets rich, but not by right. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and at the end he will be a fool." We used to have a banty chicken whenever I was a kid who would sit on rocks. She'd get broody and sit on absolutely anything. to see if they would hatch. She wanted babies so bad. Well, I guess the only way she sat on rocks is because I snuck them under her. But she would sit there and wait and wait and wait, just like they were fertile eggs underneath her. Very interesting how that works. She would protect that nest and care for it just as if it was full of good things. Well, riches gained in an unjust manner, after trying and trying and trying, like a gambler going back again and again and again, they just seem to disappear, don't they? The winnings are gone, leaving the man looking like a fool. As a partridge that broods but does not hatch, so is he who gets riches, but not by right. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and at the end, he will be like a fool. Well, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 8 through 10 continues on this theme of the importance of keeping this in check. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 8 through 10. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The man who is a gambler gets caught in a trap, just as the Scripture says. He desires so bad to be rich that he takes that route. He is trapped in a snare that is hard to get out of. The temptation is so strong that he will drown in his greediness and destruction. The treatment for a compulsive gambler resembles so much that of a substance abuse person with substance abuse problems. It takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of effort, and a lot of training and heart searching to get someone to overcome gambling issues. Let's jump back to Proverbs again in chapter 10 and verse 22. The blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Have you ever noticed that those who have won the lottery, they end up living a life of complete sorrow and misery? You've probably heard of instances where that person who's won a big jackpot has got now a pocket full of friends everywhere he goes. Somebody always wanting something from them, right? Because, hey, look what they got. But not only that, but what happens to the winnings? They're gone. Gone in a little bit of no time. Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. So wealth gained by dishonesty will disappear. But if you work for it, it means more to you, doesn't it? And keep a hold of it a little bit longer. We do better things with it. 5% of all lottery winners, 5% are bankrupt within 5 years. 5% gone like that. Diminished, dismissed, gone. Proverbs 28:20-22 says, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. A stingy man hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty will come to him. We see the effects of gambling upon those individuals to the extent that they are miserable people because of the wealth that they have gained. And to ask them possibly, they would say they wish they would have never won the prize. Proverbs the 15th chapter in verse 27. says, he who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. Children of problem gamblers are at a higher risk for a number of behavior problems, including gambling, tobacco use, and drug use. These are the children of the parents who gamble, the influence that is being shown to them. National Research Council statistics show that about 10 to 17% of children problem gamblers, children of problem gamblers, and about 25 to 50% of spouses of those same problem gamblers are abused physically in some manner. Those are high stakes right there in your own home because of an addiction to gambling. So the Bible doesn't say much about gambling itself, but it sure does say a lot on the principle of getting money in a quick manner. The last scripture I have this morning, my talk is a little short, but I think there's good points to come from it, is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28 says, and this is kind of in the context of overcoming addictions anyway, this whole scripture here, but it says here, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. So what does God expect of us? He expects us to work. He expects us to provide. And if we are blessed and prosperous, he expects us to give, to help somebody that is in need, to share those things. God wants us to be willing to give to those in need. He doesn't want us to hoard it. He doesn't want us to protect it. He doesn't want us to not use it for his glory. He wants us to glorify him in our money also. Some of the stingiest people in this world are the richest. Man, they don't want, they got a, they don't, that's mine. I'm not going to let anybody have any of that. And they've come to being rich or have these blessings either by work or inheritance or gambling. Any of those situations can cause someone to have money to the extent that they become stingy. There's a gentleman by the name of Jean Paul Getty. And he was an American industrialist. He founded the Getty Oil Company. And in 1957... by Fortune magazine, he was named the richest living American worth in excess of $2 billion in 1957. Getty was an avid collector of art and antiquities, and his collection formed the basis of the J. Paul Getty Museum in Los Angeles, California, which you can still go to and see his collection. And over $661 million of his inheritance was given, or his estate was left to the museum after his death. Well, Getty was married and divorced 5 times in his life. Had 5 sons with 4 of his wives. And Getty was quoted as saying this, "A lasting relationship with a woman is only possible if you are a business failure." See where this man's priorities laid. Where was his heart at? A lasting relationship with a woman is only possible if you are a business failure. At the age of 99 in 2013, Getty's final wife, his 5th wife, was quoted saying, she published a memoir reporting how Getty had scolded her for spending money too freely in the 1950s on the treatment of their 6-year-old son. Timmy, who had become blind from a brain tumor, did not get the proper treatment because of his father's scolding to his mother. He died at the age of 12. And Getty was living in England at that time. His wife and son were still in the U.S., He never attended the funeral. He was too busy tending to his money. Getty's love for money ruined his relationships with his children, and it was said upon his death that he was the most miserable man. But he was rich. Does the Bible mention gambling? No, it does not. The word's not there. But from the beginning to the end, the practice is clearly condemned by sound biblical principles. We're stewards of God's money. It's not ours to waste. And this applies more to just than gambling. But those who gamble are often filled with jealousy, covetousness, carnal minds, and lusts of the flesh and eyes, and are not seeking to use the wealth that God has given them to increase His kingdom. Nothing good can be said about gambling or the effects of it upon our society. But there are those who would argue that playing the lottery is helping society. How about the better roads and the schools and all that good money that goes to them, right? Well, those who would argue that haven't done their homework. Gambling is a scourge upon our nation. Gambling victimizes the poor. It was created because of the love of money, and because of the love of money, it continues on. A Christian should stay as far away as possible from gambling. It's not just harmless entertainment, and those who practice such things are playing high-risk games with their souls. If you are a non-Christian, if you have not submitted to Christ, you are gambling every day of your life, gambling with your soul, because your stakes are pretty high against you, that you will not make it to heaven. You won't make it to heaven if you are not in Christ. And there's lots of things that we have to learn and apply to our lives once we become Christians. And because of the vast amount of advertising that you hear about lottery on the radio or television, I felt as though it might be necessary to have a better understanding what God expects when it comes to gambling. If you are here this morning and you need Christ in your life, forgiveness of sins, why don't you come forward as we sing the song that's been selected.